Who's ready to get into the Word of God today? So today is, and hey, you want to clap? I'm excited. Let's clap. It's the Word of God. We get to hear from the Father this morning. Today we get to put a pin on the last 10 weeks of going through our Summer in Proverbs, our wisdom series. And it would help if I would not start on the last slide. Would you know that? It'd be a really short sermon today. And so we started the summer by seeking wisdom and learning what a wise life looks like. And today I'm going to take us and I'm going to point us back to what is the beginning of wisdom. And do you know that all the things that we've learned, none of what we heard matters if we don't land where we're landing today? All of this, it doesn't matter if we don't land where we are today. Without it, guess what? The work ethic, that's just ambition. How many ambitious people do we have in here today? Our work ethic just turns into ambition. The financial wisdom, guess what? It's just a Dave Ramsey course. The sexual integrity is just about morality. The faithful home is just good parenting. Today is the day that each of us get to make a decision, and an important one. And for some of us, that decision may look like a decision that we may have to change the way that we're living our life. We may face something in today's sermon that says, wow, I need to change what I'm doing because I know what wisdom is now. Because today we land at the beginning of wisdom. Because this, today, is the foundation that changes everything. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, I've apparently done too much talking already today. My voice is already cracking, so bear with me. Open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to go totally sidetrack here. How many of you have ever been on a phone call with me? Raise your hand. Do I sound normal on the phone? Or do I sound like I'm yelling? Who said that? Who said I'm yelling? Deb? I thought she had my side on this one. So, Alicia. So, Stacy, I don't know if you remember this. We were talking about worship once when Alicia and I were down in Missouri. And we pulled over at a fast food restaurant or something because I was just really involved. And she had to put her hand on my shoulder and said, "You are screaming. You need to be quiet." And I said, "I'm just talking. I'm excited about what we're talking about." And so, like, when I just said my voice is gone, I realized I'm loud. I get it. Like, we had our baptism class in here this morning, and I was loud. I'm excited. But I'm told it has something to do with hearing. The less you hear, the louder you get. And Alicia will say, "How come you didn't hear that?" But you can hear the floor creak in the middle of the night when one of the boys gets up. I don't get it, but side note. Just have some fun there. I'm not. If you ever feel like I'm yelling at you, I'm not. I'm just passionate about what we're talking about. Rochelle, is there much quiet? She's going to be quiet to prove a point. Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, but I'll admit I was a fool once. I was a fool once. Despise wisdom and instruction, especially from like 14 to 22. I was smarter than my dad. Would you know who thinks they're smarter than me now? To a point. He does a good job. He's a good kid. Yesterday, my youngest called me an old man in a discussion we were having. And I remember the first time I said that to my dad, he about flew off the handle and was going to show me what an old man meant. And when I tell you that same woo welled up and said, "I'll show you an old man," Listen, I'm 40 in February, and apparently life just goes downhill from here. So I don't know. I'm in my pride. I don't feel like it. The fear of the Lord. Let's get this back on track. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, before we can go any further, I want to make sure you know what we are talking about and make sure we're all on the same page, because when a lot of people hear the word fear of the Lord, they immediately think, oh, I need to be scared of God. I should be very scared of Him. Like He's standing there waiting to catch you do something wrong. How many of your parents hid and watched you do something stupid and then walked out of the shadows and said, I saw every bit of it? Anybody? Come on. That's not what the Lord's doing, and that's not what Solomon means when he writes the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is more like this. Has anybody been to the Grand Canyon? A few of you. Okay, who's been to the Little Grand Canyon in Yellowstone? Even less. Okay, great. Who likes heights? Who likes, like, seeing? Okay, who's been to the tallest mountain peak and just looked out and seen where it just goes forever? There's a bit of awe that comes over you, right? So I'm just going to stick with the Grand Canyon because that I think we can all understand that. But when you go to the Grand Canyon for the first time, you're not running away terrified, are you? You're not running away scared when you see it, but you are absolutely aware of just how small you are and how massive what in front of you is. There's a reverence that comes over you. There's a holy respect. And you don't walk up to the edge carelessly because you understand what you're standing in front of. The fear of the Lord, it's not cowering before an angry God. It's standing in the presence of a holy God and being completely aware of who He is and who you are. This is what a reverent awe is. This is what fear of the Lord is. A holy wonder. It is a deep respect for His power, for His majesty, His authority, and His holiness. And when we do that, it changes how you live because you start to take seriously what He has said. And so Solomon says that that posture, that reverent awe, the fear of the Lord, is where wisdom begins. If you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Solomon wanted to make sure that we fully understood what he was saying because he wrote it a second time to make sure that we didn't miss what he was saying. And it says this in Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge of the Holy One. That phrase matters here in a few minutes, but because biblical wisdom was never meant to give us principles apart from God. Biblical wisdom was never meant to give us principles apart from God. Wisdom begins with knowing Him. Wisdom begins when we know Him. And our first point this morning is wisdom has been calling all along. Wisdom has always been calling. In fact, turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to jump through a handful of verses here. But what this is Solomon takes wisdom and gives wisdom a voice. And he personifies wisdom as a woman calling out to anyone who will listen to her. And this is how Solomon writes this. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to chapter 8. We're going to start verses 1 through 3. He writes this, "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroad, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud." What does that tell me? Wisdom is not hiding. Wisdom is not playing hide and go seek for you. She's not waiting for you to stumble onto her. She's standing at the crossroads. She's standing at the city gates. Everywhere their people are, she's calling out to everyone. This is how Solomon has personified her. Let's keep reading verses 10 through 11. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Solomon has just told us that wisdom is better than silver. Wisdom is better than gold. Wisdom is better than anything that you desire. That's wisdom's claim about herself this morning. But then goes on to say something that stops everything. Verses 22 through 23. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. Keep reading verses 30 through 31. I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. Solomon takes us all the way back to creation. He points out to us that wisdom isn't something that we created. We're not smart enough to create wisdom. Wisdom is woven into the way that God created the very world. That's why when you go and you stand before the Grand Canyon, when you go out into the middle of the ocean and see the vastness, when you climb the mountain peak and just see for miles and miles and miles, there's an awe that comes over you because the Master Creator created it in his wisdom. And we get to see that. So it is woven into the way that God created the world. Before there were careers to build, wisdom existed. Before there was money to manage, wisdom existed. Before there were marriages to navigate or decisions to make, God's wisdom was already there. Now, I underlined this in my notes. I thought maybe somebody would like to write this down. I'll read it, and I'll read it again if I need to. But so all of that means, this, which means wisdom isn't about asking God to bless the life we've decided to build. Learning to build our lives according to the wisdom of the one who created life in the first place. Do I need to repeat that? Is anybody writing that down? Yes, okay. I should have put it on a slide. I'm sorry. Wisdom isn't about asking God to bless the life we have decided to build. It is learning to build our lives according to the wisdom of the one who created life in the first place. One more time. Wisdom isn't about asking God to bless the life we've decided to build. It's learning to build our lives according to the wisdom of the one who created life in the first place. And this will be on our website, engagechurch.life. You can go to sermons and you can click on today's sermon and listen to it if you need five more times repeated to hear what I just said. Then we jump to verses 34 and 36. It says, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. Whoever finds me finds life. Whoever hates me loves death. Folks, wisdom has been calling all summer long. She called to you in the words that you speak. She called to you in the work that you did. She called to you how you handle your money. She has called to you in the relationships that you keep. She has called to you in your home. And she has called to you in your suffering. Wisdom has been calling you forever, and she has been calling you long before this summer's sermon series. And the question that I just have for you today is this: whether you've been listening, have you been listening? Have you heard? It's because wisdom has been calling, but now we're going to move this forward a little bit. And when we put it into the New Testament, we're shown something even greater. We're not simply giving more principles for wise living. If you've taken this series as a principles of wise living, you have missed the actual point of it. what we're going to see is that it points to a person. Wisdom points to a person. And that leads us to our second point. Wisdom has a name. We've spent the past 10 weeks pursuing wisdom. Today, we've got 11 weeks in. And all of it, every sermon we've done, every principle that I've talked about, every challenge I've given, all of it has been leading right here, right now, in this moment today. See, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:24 that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then later in verse 30, he says that Christ Jesus became to us wisdom from God. And then if you flip to Colossians 2:3, it says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you see where the New Testament takes us this morning? Biblical wisdom ultimately, guess what, leads us to Christ Jesus. Biblical wisdom leads us to Christ Jesus. If you want to truly know what a wise life looks like, guess what? Follow Jesus. You want to know where life is found? Jesus. You want to know where the treasure of wisdom and knowledge are found? They're found in Christ Jesus. See, wisdom isn't ultimately about mastering principles and applying these concepts. It's about knowing and following the person of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus really is the wisdom of God, then where we look for life matters. If Jesus is the wisdom of God, then where we look for life matters. Here's another thing you can write down. You ready? You cannot expect God to be your source of peace if the world is your source of satisfaction. I'll repeat it. You cannot expect God to be your source of peace if the world is your source of satisfaction. You cannot expect God to be your source of peace if the world is your source of satisfaction. So if Jesus really is the wisdom of God, then where you look for life matters, doesn't it? Because we can spend our whole lives looking to our career, looking to our money, looking to our relationships, looking to our comfort, our success, even our family, to give us what only Jesus can give. And that changes everything about what this series has actually been about and what it's been asking some of you for. Because it was never about becoming a better version of yourself. If you heard become a better version of yourself, you're missing the point. It was never about becoming smarter with your money or more disciplined with your words or more faithful in your home. While those things matter, but they were never truly the point, they were always pointing to Christ Jesus, because wisdom has a name. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said it this way in Mark 8, 36, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" What does it profit you to have the work ethic that you do? What does it profit you to have the financial wisdom that you have? What does it profit you to have the faithful home, the right relationships, the good marriage, but not have Jesus as Lord over all of it? What does it profit you? Nothing. It literally profits you nothing. So this is the decision that has been sitting underneath this whole series, every sermon all summer. Not simply, will I become wiser at the end of this summer? But instead, it's, will you surrender your life to the one in whom true wisdom is found? See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that changes everything when Jesus stops being one part of your life and he becomes Lord over all of your life. That's the beginning. That's where everything starts. And that right there, church, that is where we land this morning. So now the question that I put out to you this morning, it becomes pretty personal. Are you ready? You like personal questions? Everybody likes spotlight shining on them? Yeah? Everybody? Not uncomfortable at all? What actually changes in your life when Jesus becomes Lord over your whole life? What actually changes when Jesus is Lord over my life? Now, that might mean something different for every person because we're different people, aren't we? We're from different walks of life. We have different things going on. It's going to mean something different to every person in this room. So for some of you, there are things that need to come back under his lordship. You've said, I got it. You took it away, and you said, I'll figure it out on my own. Today, you need to put it back underneath his lordship. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your comfort. Your busyness, who knows that busyness can be something. Your plans. And maybe for others of you, there's something that you've been holding on to that you know needs to be surrendered to him. And for some of you, it simply means saying, today I'm done going through the motions. I want the real thing. I'm done going through the motions. I want the real thing. Everything we've walked through this summer, the words that we speak, the work that we do, how we handle money, who we run with, the pride we wrestle with, the integrity that we protect, the home that we build, the trust that we extend to God, all of it matters. But church, I need you to understand that none of it works the way God designed it to work unless the fear of the Lord is underneath of it. Unless Jesus is Lord over it. At Engage Church, Stacy, you can make your way up. At Engage Church, our heart is to see every person move through a journey. We want to see every person belong to Christ, to be transformed by Christ, to be equipped for life and ministry, and being engaged in the world around them for his glory. And that's not just a program. That's not just something that we have in place as part of our discipleship pathway. That's what it looks like when the fear of the Lord becomes the foundation of our life. Here's another one that you might want to write down. You ready? When Jesus is Lord, every part of our lives come under his authority. When Jesus is Lord, every part of our lives come under his authority. And church, that's exactly what engaging our community for Jesus actually means. It's not just a fun slogan. It's not just a life that we try to live. It's a church full of people who have found wisdom and can't stop pointing others towards the one who gives it. A community watching us doesn't need to see Christians who have it all together. That's not a great example, is to have it all together. They need to see people who have found the one who does. People who fear the Lord. People who have found wisdom. And people who know that whoever finds him finds life. That's the witness. That's the mission. And it starts with each one of us making the decision today that Jesus is not just important, he's everything. He's not just an important piece of your life, he's everything in your life. Church, wisdom has been calling, and today's your day to answer that call. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning. We know that wisdom has a name. His name is Jesus. And he's the most important decision that you can ever make. This morning you have an opportunity to decide whether or not you will belong to him. We need to first understand that we are all sinners separated from God. That Jesus came, he lived the life that we couldn't live, he died in our place, and he rose again, making a way for us to be reconciled to the Father. Put your faith in him and him alone, church. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ today, and today that is the desire of your heart, would you raise your hand right where you're at, every head bowed, every eye closed? Is there anybody in the room who would say, you know what, that's me? As we close this morning, I want to make sure that we have a few minutes for time at the altar. The food is being prepared. It'll be ready shortly. We have no reason to run out of here to go get food right away. Wisdom has been calling. She's called through every sermon this entire summer. And through God's word, she's calling again right now. The question isn't whether you believe Jesus is important, because I believe that we all do that. We all believe he is important. The question, rather, is this. Is he Lord? Is he Lord over your life? Whether the fear of the Lord is actually the foundation of your life, or is this just something that you agree with only on Sunday mornings? Maybe today you're realizing that there's an area of your life that hasn't actually been surrendered to him. You know what it is. He's telling you right now. The Holy Spirit has already put his finger on it. It might be uncomfortable in this moment. I'm just going to say this. Don't ignore it. Don't push aside what the Holy Spirit is wanting to deal with. We're just saying, make room for you to do what you want to do. And when he's pointing things out, that is our opportunity to allow him to respond to what he's showing us. So church, this morning, the altars are open. I would say this, come and make it real. Come and say, Jesus, this is yours. My whole life is yours. This morning, you have the opportunity to surrender whatever you have been holding back for him. Church, wisdom has been calling all summer. Today is your day to answer that call. Would you come?